It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, yes, oh yes, it is 1900 UTC, and it's June 8th, so that means that it's Tuesday. What do you know? Pretty rad, right? Man, I've had a headache all freaking day, and it doesn't want to go away, but it's okay. I'm going to just keep drinking water, and I'm blaming the sun, all the light in my eyes. It's really messing with me. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get started. If you're listening, but you don't, and you want to interact with the show, you can always join in on Calm. That's the chat program with SDF. Just SSH over to SDF, and then once you're logged in, hit Calm, type Calm, C-O-M, press Enter, and press G for go to, then type Anon Radio in all lowercase letters and press Enter. That will take you into the Anon Radio room where you can chat with us. All the shows going on with SMJ and Ratsu, ML Smith. Northern Lights is here. Jazzmaz. Yeah, exactly. The soothing sounds of the leaf blowers will really help my head. So we shall see how it plays out. But until that time, let's go ahead and get started. Oh, and JWH, hello, welcome. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started the way we usually start.
World news.
That's right. World news. So, the top story today, a Muslim family in Canada has been killed in a premeditated truck attack. A man driving a pickup truck slammed into and killed four members of a Muslim family in the south of Canada's Ontario province in what police said Monday was a premeditated attack. A 20-year-old suspect wearing a vest like body armor fled the scene after the attack on Sunday evening and was arrested at a mall 7 kilometers from the intersection in London, Ontario, where it happened, said Detective Superintendent Paul Waite. There is evidence that this was planned, premeditated attack motivated by hate. It's believed that these victims were targeted because they were Muslim. The names of the victims were not released, but they include a 74-year-old woman, a 46-year-old man, a 44-year-old woman, and a 15-year-old girl, together representing three generations of the same family, according to London Mayor Ed Holder. A 9-year-old boy was also hospitalized following the attack and is recovering. Let me be clear that this was an act of mass murder perpetrated against Muslims, against Londoners, rooted in unspeakable hatred. Identified as Nathaniel Veltman, the suspect has been charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder and 1 count of attempted murder. Waite said local authorities are also liaising with federal police and the Attorney General about adding possible terrorism charges. So, I'll follow up whenever we know more. But we'll see what's going on. Meanwhile, a 28-year-old man who plowed a rented van into pedestrians at high speeds 3 years ago in Toronto was recently found guilty in March of murdering 10 people and trying to kill 16 others. Prior to the attack, Alec Manassian posted on Facebook a reference to an online community of involuntary celibates. This is the incel guy from a few years ago. He'll be sentenced in January 2022. So, very crappy, right? All right. So that kind of sucks. Don't use your car to kill people. Don't kill people. That's probably better advice. All right. Now this is something that it's even bumping up around in Calm with people who aren't normally super news houndy. And that's Anom. That's Alpha November Oscar Mike. Anom. Hundreds arrested in massive global crime string using messaging app. More than 800 suspected criminals have been arrested worldwide after being tricked into using an FBI-run encrypted messaging app. The operation, jointly conceived by Australia and the FBI, saw devices with the Anom app secretly distributed among criminals, allowing police to monitor their chats about drug smuggling, money laundering, and even murder plots. Officials call it a watershed moment. Targets included drug gangs and people with links to the mafia. Drugs, weapons, luxury vehicles, and cash were also seized in the operation, which was conducted across more than a dozen countries. This included 8 tons of cocaine, 250 guns, and more than 48 million in various worldwide currencies and cryptocurrencies. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison said the operation had struck a heavy blow against organized crime around the world. very interesting, right? Pretty wild. Welcome, Callie, or Kale. Not sure how the name's pronounced. European Union police agency Europol described Operation Trojan Shield / Greenlight as the biggest ever law enforcement operation against encrypted communications. So the FBI began operating an encrypted device network called Anom and covertly distributed devices with a chat app among the criminal underworld via informants. The idea for the operation came after two other encrypted platforms were taken down by law enforcement agencies, leaving criminal gangs in the market for new secure phones. The devices were initially used by alleged senior crime figures, giving other criminals the confidence to use the platform. You had to know a criminal to get a hold of one of these customized phones. The phones couldn't ring or email. You could only communicate with someone on the same platform, the Australian police explained. Australian fugitive and alleged drug trafficker Hakan Ayik was key to the sting, having unwittingly recommended the app to criminal associates after being given a handset by undercover officers. Dubbed the Facebook gangster by Australian media outlets, Ayik is seen in social media photos with large tattoos and a muscular physique. Local outlets say he's been living in Turkey since evading arrests, living a luxury lifestyle with a Dutch wife. I'm not sure if they're making like some kind of euphemism or if it's literally a Dutch woman who he's married to. Police said he was best off handing himself into us as soon as possible, as he may be in danger himself, having unwittingly helped the FBI with their sting. In total, some 12,000 encrypted devices were used by around 300 criminal syndicates in more than 100 countries. Hey, non-functional, welcome, welcome. Yeah, so this is wild, right? I just think it's very big news, and it's kind of like, well, how would you put it? Yeah, the encryption's not breakable, so let's just go ahead and make our own encrypted network. Kind of makes sense. The BBC has a whole profile on Hakan Ayik if you want to read about more about this guy. So here's some more. This is a lot less sad news than usual, so I hope you enjoy it. This next one is kind of some good news, kind of. When a crocodile grabbed her sister, there was only one option for Georgia Lori. She punched it in the face. The 28-year-old twins were swimming in Mexico when Melissa was dragged underwater by the reptile. The sisters from Berkshire were in a lagoon near Puerto Escondido on Sunday when the attack happened. They'd been traveling, volunteering, and working in animal sanctuaries, their sister, Hannah, tells Radio 1 Newsbeat. Both sisters, who live in Berkshire, are now in hospital in Mexico, and Melissa is currently in an induced coma because of worries of infection from the injuries she sustained. While they were swimming, Melissa disappeared underwater, and Georgia had been trying to find her. Crocodiles try to drown their victims. Georgia found her unresponsive and started to drag her back to the safety of a boat, says 33-year-old Hannah from her home in Alton, Hampshire. She dragged her back as the crocodile kept coming back for some more, so she just started hitting it. She'd heard that with some animals, that's what you've got to do. Hannah says Melissa was thrown like a rag doll by the crocodile. Luckily, her super badass twin sister was there to punch it repeatedly as it came back about three times to try to save her. Doctors are concerned about the waters they were swimming in, as well as anything that might have been passed on from the crocodile's mouth and teeth. Melissa has water on her lungs and possibly a punctured lung as well. She's currently receiving help to breathe. Both Georgia and Melissa are on heavy doses of intravenous antibiotics, so we're hoping that if any infection does develop, they'll be able to catch it really quickly, says Hannah. So, fingers, they'll be okay. You guys might have also seen that video of a mama bear and a baby bear walking along a fence, and then the dogs changed and they ran. The dog mom, ran out there and pushed the bear off the fence and then ran away. So, yeah, so anyway, hopefully she'll be all right, but all we can do is wait and see. I'm not sure if this is a big enough story, we'll get a big update later, but let's see. Here's some justice. Another piece of justice, I guess we could say. War crimes judges on Tuesday upheld the genocide conviction of former Bosnian Serb military chief Ratko Mladic over the 1995 Srebrenica massacre, Europe's worst act of bloodshed since World War II. The UN Tribunal in The Hague rejected Mladic's appeal against his 2017 life sentence for genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity over the 1992 to 1995 Bosnian War. dubbed the Butcher of Bosnia, the once burly general who is now in his late 70s, sat impassively and listened to the judgment through headphones as it was read out by presiding judge Prisha Nyambe. The appeals chamber affirmed the sentence of life in prison imposed on Mr. Mladic by the trial chamber, the tribunal in The Hague said in a statement. The verdict by five judges at the UN International Residual Mechanism for Criminal Tribunals, which deals with cases from the now-closed Yugoslavia War Crimes Tribunal, is final and cannot be appealed any further. Mothers of some 8,000 mostly Muslim boys, men and boys killed in cold blood when Bosnian Serb troops overran Srebrenica were outside the court, where they have long campaigned for justice. So, wow. Yeah, so that's kind of where that's going.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I hear you. We'll get there. It'll be just a little bit longer, little guy.
Get the.
All right. I got a headache. All right. Let's hit a couple more stories, and then we will throw on some music. South Africa's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has put his health minister, Zweli Mkhize, on special leave after allegations his department irregularly awarded COVID-19-related contracts to a communications company controlled by his former associates. This period of special leave will enable the minister to attend to allegations and investigations concerning contracts between the Department of Health and a service provider, Digital Vibes, Ramaphosa's office said in a statement on Tuesday. It was the latest in a series of corruption allegations linked to coronavirus-related tenders that have caused public outrage. Ramaphosa has promised that corruption during COVID-19 pandemic will be dealt with harshly. Earlier on Tuesday, Mkhize told the press he had approached the president about taking a special leave pending an investigation into the contracts awarded to communications firm Digital Vibes. He has previously denied any wrongdoing. South Africa's Special Investigating Unit, or SIU, is probing the case, one of over 4,000 coronavirus-linked contracts suspiciously awarded since the start of the pandemic. Revelations about alleged mishandling of coronavirus funds surfaced last year and have since led investigators to believe that billions of rands have fallen into the hands of politically connected companies. The SIU last week said the 63 government officials had so far been handed over for prosecution, while 87 companies will be blacklisted. Mkhize wrote to the ruling African National Congress Party last week to request a meeting of its integrity committee to state his case. A report on the outcome of the probe, which the minister has vowed to make public, is expected by the end of the month. So, hopefully, we'll be able to talk about that whenever it comes through. So, hopefully, we'll get some more news from there. And here's one more before we jump into a song. A South African woman has given birth to 10 babies, breaking the world record held by Malian woman Halima Cisse, who gave birth to 9 children in Morocco in May. I think we talked about that story. According to South African local media, Gosiami Thamara Sithole? Anyway, I'll put it in comp. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, 10 kids all at once. That's wild. Age 37, underwent a cesarean operation to give birth to 7 boys and 3 girls, making her the Guinness record holder for the most children birthed by one woman at once. Reports further indicate that the... Why did they say the? They instead of giving them a name, they said... report indicate that the Sithole and her husband, Teboho Tsotetsi, were expecting 8 babies, but 2 babies had apparently missed the scan due to the fact they were tucked inside the wrong tube. I am shocked by my pregnancy. It was tough at the beginning. I was sick. It was hard for me. It's still tough, but I'm used to it now. I don't feel the pain anymore, but it's still a bit tough. I just pray for God to help me deliver all my children in a healthy condition and for me and my children to come out alive. I would be pleased about it, she told the local media. So, holy cow. That's a lot of kids. 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Speaking to the Pretoria News, Tsotetsi said Sithole gave birth to their bundles of joy 29 weeks into her pregnancy, and that her pregnancy was natural as she was not on any fertility treatment. Sithole, who also has 6-year-old twins, told journalists of the birth of the decuplets late on Monday night, saying he is happy and emotional. In May, a Malian woman gave birth to non-uplets in Morocco, breaking the record held by an American woman, Nadia Suleiman, who gave birth to 8 babies in 2009. Reports show that only 2 other sets of non-uplets have been recorded since the 1970s, but the babies all died within days. So, whew, wild. That's a lot of kids. Pretty wild stuff. All right. Well, we've got to get some music in us because...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
You hear these guys. My head hurts. It's always an adventure, you know? But anyway, I'm going to play some 90s stuff for you. One sec here. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Let me see if this song will play. This looks like it.
Supported underground radio station
powered by the SDF public access Unix system.
That's correct. This is Anon Radio and it's powered by SDF. So go on over to anonradio.net to check out the schedule, or if you're in comm, just press the equal key. Oh yeah, and then you get a nice little text-based version of the schedule. And with that, you'll know that at 1930 UTC, every single day is the Dubious Goals Committee, Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And this is an audio adventure. You definitely want to stick around and check that out. It's a super fun time. Don't just take my word for it. Take a couple of doses. You'll get hooked. It's a blast. Tons of fun. And then today, it's Tuesday, so then after that, at 20 hours, we have Praise Then Darkness from Northern Lights, and quite a few shows. It looks like Praise Then Darkness, then at 2100, The Odd Thing. So yeah, that's a lot of stuff going on. If you ever want to do a show or try it out, there's a couple of open mic spots where you can just go to an on-radio to get the details and jump in. So get your dose of the Dubious Skulls Committee today after this one. Anyway, non-radio. There you go. That's the introduction. Let's get back to... actually, I want to skip some news so that we can be sure to get to the tech news that I want to talk about. So let's tell you the tech news.
Is it time for tech news?
All right. So have you heard of Boomtowns, right? Well, now there's something called Zoomtowns. As remote work takes hold, rural Zoomtowns are popping up all over the U.S. For outdoorsy workers, the option are an embarrassment of riches. Los Angeles native Chanel Sharon always wanted to live close to nature in a place where, as a triathlete, she could run, bike, and swim away from city noise. So when her job as a digital marketing manager for an entertainment company went fully remote, the 30-year-old made a dramatic move that would have been unimaginable before the pandemic. She traded the Hollywood Hills for the rolling Ozarks of Northwest Kansas. Sherlin was one of 30,000 applicants from 50 states and 115 countries who applied for the LifeWorks Here Talent Initiative, which was launched in November 2020 with a $1.5 million investment from Walmart Airs. Successful candidates, there are currently 35 out of what will be a total of 100 by year's end, receive $10,000 if they relocate for a minimum of 1 year, plus outdoor perks such as a free bike to enjoy the area's 400 miles of hard and soft surface trails. So, who knew? So they're apparently, this is happening all over the place. The idea for Smith and others is that workers will benefit and towns too. Of course, the reality is not quite so simple. In a study published in the Journal of American Planning Association last year, Dania Rumor, a researcher with the University of Utah, looked at the development challenges faced by 1,200 Gateway and Natural Amenity Region, or NAR, G-N-A-R, communities in the American Mountain West region, which includes Utah, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. What we're seeing is, in some communities, is rural gentrification, which is having a spillover effect where people can't afford to live in the communities anymore. Noting that places with a really good outdoor recreation access have gotten hammered. Many communities have experienced other big city challenges in small towns, she adds, including overwhelmed schools, overburdened infrastructure, and troubles keeping employees employed due to acute housing affordability issues. Yet for rural areas with resources to both manage the impact and harness the opportunity, it works out. So, it's kind of wild because I've heard people, I've wanted to go move off into a small town, but I didn't quite, I didn't think about the impact to the community when a bunch of people do that. So, anyway, that's over there at the BBC if you want to read more. This is something I think is cool. I use Python every day, and over the last month or so, there's been a good bit of news surrounding the idea of increasing the performance of the CPython interpreter. At the 2021 Python Language Summit in mid-May, Guido Van Rossum announced that he and a small team are being funded by Microsoft to work with the community on getting performance improvements upstream into the interpreter, crucially without breaking the C API so that the ecosystem of Python extensions, e.g. NumPy, continue to work. Another talk at the summit looked at Cinder, which is a performance-oriented CPython fork that is used in production at Instagram. Cinder was recently released as open-source software, and as was another project to speed up CPython that originated at Dropbox called PyStone. There have been discussions on and development of performance enhancements for CPython going quite a ways back. It's a perennial topic at the yearly language summit, for example. More recently, Mark Shannon proposed a plan that could, he thought, lead to a 5x speedup for the language by increasing its performance by 50%. it's pretty cool. It's exciting stuff. So we'll see what happens here. But thought that was pretty exciting. What? Are we there? What? I don't know what's happening. All right, let's keep on going. There's some stuff going on. There's a few headlines in the tech world I want to be sure and throw out here. Matthew Garrett has written up the long, complex series of steps required to build an x86 device that only boots code that the creator wants to run there. At this point, everything in the boot process is cryptographically verified, and so should be difficult to tamper with. Unfortunately, this isn't really sufficient. On x86 systems, there's typically no verification of the integrity of the secure boot database. An attacker with physical access to the system could attach a programmer directly to the firmware flash and rewrite the secure boot database to include keys they control. They could then rewrite the boot image with one they've signed, and the machine would happily boot the code they controlled. We need to be able to demonstrate that the system booted using the correct secure boot keys, and the only way we can do that is use the TPM. So, it's a hot topic if you want to do that. 3x faster in red. Oh. Alright, so let's see what else is going on. OpenSUSE Leap 15.3 was released. Alma Linux 8.4 is out. Firefox 89, if you haven't updated yet, you should. That's an interesting update. GCC has dropped its copyright assignment requirement. The GCC compiler, like other new projects, has long required contributors to complete paperwork assigning copyrights on their work to the Free Software Foundation. But that requirement was dropped, and contributors can now attach a signed-off-by tag indicating use of the developer's certificate of origin instead. This change is consistent with the practice of many major free software projects, such as the kernel. So, pretty rad there. So, that's going on in the tech world. Nigeria is in talks. what else? There's so much going on. Colonial Pipeline. The U.S. has recovered most of the $4.4 million ransom paid to a cyber criminal gang for taking the Colonial Pipeline off last month. DarkSide, which U.S. authorities said operates from Eastern Europe and maybe Russia, infiltrated last month. According to the firm, the pipeline carries 45% of the East Coast's supply of diesel, petrol, and jet fuel. On Monday, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco said investigators had found and recaptured 63.7 Bitcoin worth $2.3 million, the majority of the ransom paid. Since the ransom was paid, the value of Bitcoin has fallen sharply. The U.S. government has recommended in the past that companies do not pay over ransomware attacks. In a statement, they don't say how they got it, though. Whew. Oh, man, my head. Check this out. Wendy's shares surge as it becomes the most recent meme stock. The meme stock spotlight shined upon a new company on Tuesday, Wendy's. Shares surged as Reddit investors appeared to turn their attention to the popular burger chain, and CNBC host Jim Cramer called it a huge favorite of his program. YOLO Stocks, a site that tracks Reddit mentions of popular meme stocks, indicated that mentions of Wendy's were up 3% over the past 24 hours on the popular forum R Wall Street Bets, and the company's ranked 6th in mentions on the subreddit. A meme stock is one that sees a boost in trading activity after gaining attention on social media. So, if you want to get in on the next GameStop, I guess it's going to be there. Oh, golly, we've only got about 2 minutes to go, so let's just hit a few other top headlines. The U.S. has imposed visa restrictions on people in Cameroon. Uganda imposes another COVID lockdown. In Burkina Faso, the Sahel governor claims security can't be provided for all villages. So you're kind of on your own, basically. And what else? 20,000 Sri Lankan healthcare workers are on strike in defiance of government mandates. Oh my gosh, and we didn't even get to talk about the dang old outage that happened this morning. A massive internet outage affected websites including The Guardian, the UK government's website, Amazon, Reddit. The outage was traced to a failure in a content delivery network run by Fastly. It began at about 11 a.m. UK time, with visitors to a huge number of sites receiving errors. Others affected included CNN, New York Times, Financial Times, as well as Twitch and Hulu. So if the largest CDN in the world goes down, suddenly, a lot of sites don't work. Anyway, Fastly acknowledged that it was having some trouble and quickly got it all resolved, and it was fixed within an hour. So, alrighty. Well, it's time for the Dubious Goals Committee. Thanks for sticking around. I'll do my best. If I remember, I'll go put the links.
That sounds that our time's coming to an end.
Cool. Thanks so much for tuning in.
I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Yeehaw! Dubious Goals Committee.
Sever.